May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated and turn, if you will, please, to Exodus chapter 3. This is the Feast of Trinity Sunday, and I'll explain in a minute, but I'm not going to really preach a Trinity sort of sermon today. You know, what do you say on Trinity Sunday? It's a doctrine, okay? So, you know, yeah, it's one God, three persons, one substance, three beings, and, you know, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, the Father is not the Son is not the Spirit's not, Okay. And, of course, we had John 3:16, and you all have never heard that one before, so anyway, I'll still pass that over. Anyway, Exodus chapter 3. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him, that's Moses, in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So I have a question for you. What kind of bush are you? An HW or a W or a J? No, we're not going there. Anyway. Yeah, it's David's fault. And so if this sermon flops, it's David's fault. David, last week when he was preaching, he made an offhand remark. I don't know if you all remember this offhand remark that he made, but in the midst of the sermon, which was not the main point of the sermon, he said something about how he had never thought of himself as the bush in the burning bush story. And he did not, I'm sure, realize that today we were going to have the burning bush as the Old Testament lesson. Yeah, so he made an offhand remark, and I took it as a handoff of a sermon topic for this Sunday, and so I'm hoping I will not fumble the handoff here. Anyway. But in that verse, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 2, it says that the Lord appeared in the flames of fire from within the bush. And so if we are the bushes and the flames of fire appear from within us, the Holy Spirit who dwells in us ought to be visible in our lives. But can the fire be seen through the bush, which is you? Let me give you a couple of examples of bushes, all right? I want to talk to you about, first, Farouk Bulsara. Everybody knows who Farouk Bulsara is, right?
Is that a bush or a person?
It's a person. It is a person. Jack might know who Farouk Bulsara is, but no, he doesn't. Okay. Anyway, Farouk was born in Zanzibar. His parents were Indian. They had come from India at the behest of the British government to help transition Zanzibar from a British colony to an independent nation. All right. And so they came down there, and while they were in Zanzibar, Farouk was born to them. After Zanzibar became an independent country, they decided to immigrate to England rather than go back to India. And so they immigrated to England, but they realized that if they were going to put their son in public school in Britain, that Farouk was not a good name for a young boy to have. And so they changed his name, or really just began calling him Frederick. So Frederick Bulsara. Anyway, well, Frederick did extremely well in school. He learned how to play the piano. He had a great singing voice. He really had some incredible talent. As a matter of fact, a scientific study was done of his voice many years later. And he had a 4-octave range in his voice. And they tested him, and he had better vibrato than Pavarotti. I mean, he was an incredibly gifted person, all right? And not only that, after he graduated from public school, then he went to college, and he got a degree in graphic arts. He was a very, very talented young man. Anyway, while he was in college, He used to do the nightclub scene. And he especially liked the gay clubs. He went to a lot of gay clubs. But one of the places where he went, he saw a band called Smile. And he was very taken with the band. And the lead guitarist, Brian, was a college kid like himself. Brian was studying physics. Brian went on later to get a physics degree, and then he got his doctorate in astrophysics and is currently an astrophysicist. The drummer, Roger, was studying dentistry. He finished his course of dental school and decided that he didn't really want to spend his life with his hands in somebody else's mouth, so he went back to school and got a degree in biology. So these are smart people, okay, really smart people. And then there was a fourth person who came along a little bit later. His name was John, and he played bass, and so they brought him into the group. And he also was a college kid, and he ended up getting a degree in electronics with honors from Cambridge. So this group was the most educated rock group in the history of the world. I'm serious. They were declared the most educated rock group ever. Well, they renamed the group. Smile just wasn't going to make it for Frederick. And so Frederick decided that he was going to push the band to rename it, and so they called it Queen. And Frederick decided that Frederick Bulsara was not a good stage name, so he changed his name to Freddie Mercury. Right. You guys have heard of them, right? For those of you who were not around when Queen was around, okay, you probably actually have probably heard some of their songs, like Bohemian Rhapsody. That was their big hit. It was written in 1975. Freddie Mercury was the one who wrote it, and it was a huge hit, although they had a hard time getting people to accept it at first because it was, oh my God, 6 whole minutes long. But Freddie...
We are the champions.
Oh, yeah, I'll get that. Yeah, I'll get to that. Yeah. You know that one. We will rock you. There you go. Okay, you got it. That's it. But also, they wanted to push the Bohemian Rhapsody, and so Freddie, being a graphic artist, decided to put it on film, and they made the first music video. So you can blame MTV and VH1 on Freddie Mercury, okay? Anyway, all right. Well, Freddie had a dream to be the most watched performer ever. That was his desire. And it pretty much came true. In 1985, Live Aid, anybody remember Live Aid, where they had all those different bands performing in England and New York City? And, okay, you weren't born yet. I can't help that, all right? Anyway, there were all these rock bands in both London and in New York, and it went over the airwaves and everything. Anyway, but Queen came on stage in Britain, and all the musicians who were behind stage were like, oh my God, they're stealing the show. They're stealing the show. And it was. And later, the BBC did a survey of musicians on which was the greatest live performance ever, and they declared that Queen at Live Aid was the greatest live show of all time. So, if you ever get an interest in it, you might just do a YouTube look at it. It's interesting. Anyway, okay, that was 1985. 2 years later, Queen went to Sao Paulo, Brazil, and they played before the largest paying audience to see a single band ever. 131,000 people crowded into Sao Paulo Stadium to watch Queen. Just an incredible thing.
That's more than the Beatles.
That's more than the Beatles, dear. Oh, yeah. A lot more.
One show,
one band, yep. Okay, that was 1987. The next year, Freddie Mercury was diagnosed with HIV. 3 years later, he was dead of AIDS. Freddie Mercury burned bright for a number of years. But he was a narcissistic bush. A bush that burned very brightly, but that bush consumed him. The fire of his self-worth burned him up. Now, Freddie wasn't a practicing Christian. So, okay, that, you know, how do I relate that? How can we put that into any kind of context here? Let me give you another example, another bush, all right? This one, just 7 years ago this past week, this man was really, really famous. 7 years ago this past week, Harold Camper had declared that on May 21st, 2011, that the rapture would happen and God's judgment would come on mankind. You all remember that. Well, Harold Camper was an engineer by trade, but he was also a member of the Christian Reformed Church. He was not ordained. He just had a great devotion to Scripture. And in 1958, he helped found the Family Radio Network. The Family Radio Network was committed to broadcasting conservative Christian message and conservative Christian music. And it grew. It grew very quickly to over 150 markets across the United States. And so Harold Camping was getting the message of the Scriptures out to the people. And it was a good thing. And there were a lot of people who found the Lord through the message of Family Radio Network. But by the 1980s, Camping was varying, as it were, from church doctrine. And the elders of the Reformed Church asked him to repent and submit to the church. He was unwilling to submit to any authority. And so in 1988, he left the church. They threatened to excommunicate him. He said, "Don't bother, I'll just leave." And then his message began to change after that. And he said that all true followers of God are commanded by God to depart the church. That all true followers of God were only to do personal Bible study and listen to family radio broadcasts.
Right.
Okay.
I'm not making this up. This is true. Okay. And in the early 90s, Camping began to declare that on September 6th, 1994, God would bring judgment on the earth. You all remember September 6th, 1994. It was a big day, right? Everybody remember that? It didn't happen. It did not happen. Well, he said he had miscalculated, but to stay tuned, that the end was near. In the early 2000s, Camping declared, "The Bible has guaranteed that on May 21st in 2011, that God will bring his judgment on the earth and that those who are faithful will be raptured on that day." And that, what is it? 3 months, 4 months later, October 21st, 2011, the final judgment will happen and the earth will be completely destroyed. Bible guaranteed that. I'm still here. I don't know about you. It didn't happen. Suddenly, the radio went very quiet on May 21st. They no longer had any live shows on the family network. They only played canned music for a few days. And then on the 23rd of May, Camping came forward and said the judgment did happen. You just didn't see it. And that on October 21st, the rapture and the final judgment and destruction will happen. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. But sadly, Camping had a stroke on October 21st, and he died 2 months later. Camping was an unaccountable bush. A bush that burned brightly. Quite frankly, he burned brightly for 3 full decades. But his unwillingness to be accountable to anyone consumed him. Well, there is a third kind of bush. This is called the yielded bush. When you see this bush, you are aware that it is a bush. But the focus is on the fire that comes from within that bush. You see, where people get confused is, it's not about the bush. I think we have a song, something like this. It's not about you. It really isn't. It's about the fire that others can see that burns brightly within you. The bush is the means for manifesting the Spirit of God. We cannot be self-absorbed like Freddie Mercury, nor can we be thinking about doing God's work for Him like Harold Camping. God is able to do His work in and through this yielded bush, one who is yielded to His will. And this type of bush is a vehicle. A vehicle only. This type of bush is not the object or the object of worship. Can you be that kind of bush? Well, what does all this mean? What does it mean for us? I mean,
that's sort of your basic Billy Graham bush. Saying.
Yeah, but the problem with I thought about a number of different people who are big names, like Billy Graham or Randolph Adler or even Pope Francis. You know, I could go and give you those, but here's the thing. You guys are not rock stars. Maybe Jack could get away with that. But, you know, you guys are not, you know, you're not the big prophetic name or whatever. So the point is that I could give you these examples like Billy Graham or Randolph Adler or whoever, but that's not who you are. But any bush will do when it comes to God, okay? Yeah. God can make His fire visible in each one of you if you are yielded to Him. If you are willing to walk the way of Christ, then God can use you where He has placed you. And if you're trying to be something other than what God has created you to be, you become useless because you then become concentrated and focused on yourself. I want to be the next Billy Graham. No, I don't. God didn't call me to be Billy Graham. God called me to be Bill McLaughlin. And God placed me here. And so I need to be faithful here. And I hope and I pray to God that His light will shine through me, that others may see the glory of God, not the glory of Bill. Are you with me? Does this make sense? This is what it's about. This is the fire that David was seeing last week when he was talking about the bush. It's not about the bush. It's about the fire. We heard the song, you are the potter and we are the clay. Well, you are the fire and we are the bush. Do with us as you see fit, Lord Jesus. We aren't all going to be rock stars. We aren't all going to be televangelists, thanks be to God. But we all are gifted. Every single one of you has been gifted by God. You have gifts that God has given to you to use for His kingdom. I just was looking. Carol, she does such an incredible job of doing all that knitting for all those little babies. You know what? There aren't going to be 131,000 people who are going to come to a stadium to watch her knit. I don't think that's going to happen. All right? But that in no way diminishes the incredible gift that God has given to her, that the light that God is shining through her might be seen not only by the mothers and the workers at the abortion clinic, or at the, excuse me, sorry, at MAPS, at the,
what do you
call that?
Pregnancy
support services.
The opposite.
But those babies one day were going, where did this come from, Mom?
Yeah.
Came from the hand of Jesus through this precious woman.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. Amen. But these gifts are given not for us so that we can be admired. These gifts are given to us, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, for the common good. To build up the body. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says that he has called some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, that the saints may be built up in the body of Christ. Look at Romans chapter 12 real quick. In chapter 12, verse 3, Paul says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all of the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. And if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is in serving, let him serve. If it is in teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. All of these gifts are given for the building up of the body, for the common good. And we use these gifts in submission to the authority within the church. Which brings us to the second point, which is obedience. Obedience and accountability. You know, just if you suddenly realize, you know, I've got this great gift of healing. Oh, wow, I'm going to go out and I'm going to start healing. I'm going to go walking through downtown and healing. You better have the cover of the church before you start setting out to do that. You better be accountable to somebody before you start walking out in this faith. Because you're going to get consumed by the fire. If not by the fire of the Lord, then by the fire of the world. We need to be obedient. Romans 13:1 says, be obedient to all of the governing authorities. And be accountable. Jesus gave us the example of accountability. Look John chapter 5. Actually, the NIV crucifies this verse. Let me read it to you from the RSV. In John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus says, I can do nothing on my own authority. Now, this is Jesus. This is God incarnate. All right? And he's saying, I can do nothing on my own authority. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus wouldn't do anything without being accountable to the Father. We should not be trying to do anything without being accountable to the church. And in John 7, in verse 18, he who speaks on his own authority, seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. St. Paul tells us to fan into flame the gifts that are in us. Fan into flame the gifts that are in us, that as we go forth as the bush, that flame, that light may shine out from within us. Fan it into flame. Keep working at it. Keep seeking the Lord. This is what I'm trying to tell you through these emails that I'm going to be sending to you over the next few weeks. It's time, it may be past time, but it's time for sure for us to seek spiritual breakthrough in this parish. That the fire that God is sending may be made manifest in each one of our lives individually, but in us corporately as well. He wants us to be, as it were, burning bushes out in the world that others may see and know and be attracted. Just like Moses, when he saw that, he said, I think I'm going to turn aside and go take a look at this. Wouldn't it be great if suddenly people began to go, hey, I see fire in this guy over here. I think I'm going to go and check it out. What is it you've got that I don't have? What is it you've got that I don't have? What is that fire that's in you? That's what we're looking for. That's what God wants to see. He wants to see His fire break out in His church. Amen.